Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to an honest review of 1997's Batman and Robin. Is it the worst Batman movie ever made? Well, to find out, we've had to summon a Bat fanatic to Friday Fright Time from the Heavy Spoiler Show. It's Paul, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Glad to be here. Look, my favourite movie ever made. Massive Batman fan, and you get me on to talk about Batman and Robin.
As you're such a big Batman fan, are you just all in for the dark, serious side of Batman, or have you got a place in your heart for the comedic shit too?
I love everything, really. The 1966 stuff, Lego Batman, I think's really good. There's so much that you can do with the character. Batman and Robin's a bit of a weird one. It's really funny. I find it better than Batman Forever, to be honest. I find it much more entertaining.
I absolutely agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just like a nothing film, really, Batman Forever. Whereas Batman and Robin, you know, it's trying things. It's really trying things.
I knew that I was going to enjoy this from the moment it started, and it zoomed in on them getting dressed. It zooms in on their ass, and then it just spins around, and we get full-on zoom on their man bulge, just to let us know that these are absolutely fucking alphas of Gotham.
Well, it's got like a 3-minute scene where it's just names flying at the screen. And then the logos fly in. Batman and Robin's logos join up together and then fly towards the screen. You cut to like the longest getting dressed scene ever. But there's like weird metal sounds in the background. Like, ring, ring, ring. Ring. It's like, you know, in Terminator 2 when the T-1000 starts melting and coming back together. It's like that sort of now. It's like, ring, ring, ring. Yeah, it's really weird. And then you cut to the Batmobile. It's a weird looking Batmobile, isn't it?
It seems to have like a nuclear reactor strapped to the front of it.
Yeah.
What's your favourite ever Batmobile? Like, you've got the, like, Batman Forever one that has the Bat logo on the hubcaps and just looks
really
fucking
like that one,
awful.
I like that the most as a kid, though.
Oh, really?
Just the whole, you know, the way the fins split and stuff, I thought that was... I don't know why it did that, but I thought that was really cool. But Batman 89, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah, Mask of the Phantasm's really good. Mm. But yeah, probably the 89 film.
Good shout.
Are you a fan of the Dark Knight one, where it's more like the sort of the armoured tank? Is that a bit too, like, regular looking, or...?
Regular looking? What the fuck? What kind of cars do you look at?
Yeah, it's regular looking. Just exciting to walk on that. A massive tank.
See them in your local Aldi car park, like.
Yeah.
The nuclear reactor on the Batmobile in this. When Joel Schumacher was asked to make the film by the studio, he was really pushed into making it toy-based, so like merchandise
toyetic,
could just be pumped
said,
out of
it.
Toyetic, yes, the one. And you can tell with like the overall design, especially like the Mr. Freeze costume and like how colourful the film is. But I think it's just a misunderstood film. Obviously, it's not the best.
It's not like a good film, is it?
No, I don't think it was as bad as all of the hate it got, though. Like, it was okay.
Think, you know, it's like one of those things where we can look back and laugh at it, but at the time, you can see why fans were like, they've killed Batman. They've absolutely killed Batman, you know what I mean?
Literally killed him for like 8 years.
It's really weird tonally because there's some very sincere scenes in the film, like the Alfred and Bruce stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's all,
it's really serious, really sincere. It's all about like Alfred basically being his father and taking care of him and how he's going to deal with things when he's gone. And then you've got ice puns.
Yeah, my condition has become cold to your mercy. What the hell are you on about?
Yeah, but yeah, they start off in the Batcave, obviously, and you know, it's a nice, and then it just goes to shit after that, really.
Well, we meet Mr. Freeze, we're just kind of thrown into him freezing cops, but from here on out does fall to shit. Like the way Batman just Tony Hawks his way into the building, Robin just slides along the floor on his motorbike and then punts the gun out of Mr. Freeze's hands and it just sticks to a wall,
just doesn't obey the laws of physics. It's just like perfectly lands on it and hangs there. I think Batman's first line to Mr. Freeze is just, "Hi Freeze, I'm Batman," or something like that.
it's a solid line.
Yeah, it's just got no subtext the whole film, really, does it? It's just, even leaving the Batcave, I've got the film up now and I'm just scanning through it. Commissioner Gordon comes in on like a little screen above the wheel and he's just like, "Mr. Freeze, he's robbing the museum. This is what you're going to do." It's just so like, there's no subtext. It's just, this is what's happening.
We cut to Mr. Freeze and he's just with a fucking choir making him sing Christmas songs.
He's Mr. White Christmas.
Yeah, Mr. Snow. It's fucking polar bear slippers. Yeah. Come on, sing.
But they don't really tone down the Arnie stuff in this film.
I know,
like,
yeah. dad loving me.
Even when you get the Mr. Freeze origin story and they watch it and he falls into the tank, he comes out and he's like,
some of these puns are just like a joy to like listen to, but then you get other ones that are just, again, there's no subtext. What killed the dinosaurs?
The Ice Age.
That is correct.
When Poison Ivy tries to hypnotize him, he goes, "Pheromones could heat up a man's blood. Shame I'm cold," or something like that. But everyone's just kind of given a terrible performance, aren't they? I mean, George Clooney's all right.
He's not bad.
But there's even some bits where they have a press conference and they're like, "So, Bruce, will you be getting married soon?" And he's like, Like, you can't believe it's been left in the final cut.
This was like what kind of launched Clooney's career as well, and even though he went around after like refunding people who'd seen the film,
<Not yet. laughs>
like as soon as filming wrapped on it, he said to someone on the set, "Guys, I think we've just killed the franchise."
Yeah, yeah.
They've clearly gone down a direction where they want it to be like an homage to that like Adam West style of like the goofy kind of colourful sets and kapow sort of stuff. Mm. But because it came after Batman and Batman Returns, they've just decided to go all balls to the wall with, right, we are now just mental comic book style. And I think people didn't want that by that point. They preferred the dark Batman.
That's the thing, whenever you ask, obviously Batman has got quite a varied style. You can do a lot of things with him. But whenever you ask people what they want, it's always the dark stuff. They'll never be like, "Oh, I want the campest thing ever. I want ice puns. I want Poison Ivy. I want Bane just walking around saying, bomb."
What the fuck was with Bane in this film, man? Like,
the thing is, Bane's such a cool character, but we got that. He's just being a chauffeur for Poison Ivy. He's just got a little cap on.
Uniform.
Yeah. The guy that played him was a guy who's got the best name ever. His name was Jeep. He wrestled in WCW as a guy called The Final Solution. They had to change his name to The Ultimate Solution after the Jewish community got really upset because The Final Solution was what Hitler's plan was called. So it's a little bit of an oversight by him there, I think.
Well, it's just a bit mad. I mean, there's even some more characters in there we've not spoken about yet, with Barbara coming in. She's not Barbara Gordon in this, though. She's Alfred's niece.
She was pointless.
You don't care about the side characters that much. Robin and Batgirl having a bike race. You know, I just don't really care. You know what I mean?
Were you not gripped when they nearly fell off a bridge, though?
Yeah.
I did quite like the look of Gotham throughout this film, though. Like, it was kind of dark and gritty, but it still was very comic book-esque, and it had like
a lot of neon,
a lot of smoke and fire, and then it was sort of always covered in like red and green light, and even Poison Ivy's lair looked really cool. I thought they did it quite well for this.
Even the observatory that's like held up in the air by a massive statue,
when they're driving down that,
yeah, Batman stops Robin from going over it because he's on a bike. Yeah. But surely the bike weighs a lot less than the giant tampon.
Well, he goes over in his Batmobile, doesn't he? He jumps out because Freeze freezes it.
He doesn't get frozen, though, does he? That irritated me. Like, he doesn't get frozen, jumps out of the car, but the car lands next to Mr. Freeze's car, and Batman's like, "Ha-ha, didn't freeze me."
Yeah.
He floats down next to him. We think, oh, we're going to get a bit of a showdown, and then it just cuts to Mr. Freeze lying on the floor.
His eyes open, and Batman standing over him with, like, his cape held up, like, for a perfect camera
got
shot.
You, Mr. Freeze.
You didn't even get the fight scene. You just got him stood there.
Oh my god! Batman has his own credit card as well.
Oh, the Batcard, of course.
Card. Limit forever. And this was coming off the back of Heart of Ice, the Batman animated series episode. Which I think that even won an Emmy or something. It was really well received.
One of the best episodes of the animated series, therefore.
And then that was probably another thing that fans got angry about, because they thought, oh, they were getting Mr. Freeze. He's just been in Heart of Ice. It's going to be amazing. And yeah. You know what I mean?
How to wrap up Batman and Robin. So, Kofi, would you like to give your overall thoughts about the film?
Yeah, like, I think obviously there's a lot of time that has passed since the film has been out, so looking at it a lot differently now, I think that it was pretty decent, but there was a lot of pointless shit, like the close-ups on every single superhero's ass, tits, or balls. like yeah. for no reason.
All the
and
time.
The shift between seriousness and complete stupidity just didn't work. And there was loads of unnecessary scenes like the Batgirl stuff and just Robin as well. Like, I think a lot of it was just unnecessary. If they cut a lot out of it, it probably would manage as a decent film, but I would just say it's all right. It's a decent watch. What about yourself, Connor?
The major issue with this film is just the tonal imbalance, because I know we've spoken about a few examples, but even stuff like Mr. Freeze with Nora, like, there's some really nice callbacks to Heart of Ice and things like that in there, and then you've got him throwing puns left, right and centre. It doesn't pick something to stick with. It's too back and forth. And then the Batman and Alfred stuff, again, it's just, where are we going with this? Do you want him to potentially die? Oh no, magic saves him at the end. Mm. Like, it's just, it doesn't know what it wants to do or be as a film. And because of that, I think people will have just got completely lost with it. And they did.
Yeah.
But I think it's such an entertaining film. I'll go for maybe like a 5 out of 10.
Right in the middle, staying on that, completely staying on that fence.
Stu?
I quite liked it. One of those films I could easily crack on and just watch because it's utterly shit. You don't have to think about it. To be honest, I think if you had changed Bane and Mr. Freeze, or at least who played them, it probably would have been better. I thought Poison Ivy was all right. I quite liked how she was really geeky and then just turns into this like massive slag. Quite like that.
Yeah.
I didn't really like Robin. I'm saying I've quite enjoyed it, and now I'm saying they should have changed everything about the film. So I realise what a shit point of view I have on this. But
are you going to give it a 5 out of 10 as well, there,
yeah, Stu? Yeah. So yeah, I reckon a 5.5 out of 10, or maybe a 4.5, maybe average in the middle there somewhere.
Amazing. And finally, Paul, what did you make of it?
I'm torn between a 1 out of 10 and a 10 out of 10. It's like, it's such a car crash, but it's like, there's just so many parts where it's like, you sat wondering how this got made. You're not going to be able to argue the merits of the film and convince anyone that it's good. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh, we tried. Uh-huh.
There's not a minute that goes by where it's like, what the hell is this? You know what I mean? They don't have like a full minute. Just even his plan to like freeze the entire world. It's so by the numbers, you know what I mean? It's like the lizard in Amazing Spider-Man where he's like, I'll just turn everyone into a lizard. Yeah. It's like that level. Like, just freeze the entire world.
Like, oh, yeah. We've got like 20 satellites. We're just going to bounce like an ice laser between the balls.
But I mean, Mr. Freeze, he's not really a bad guy in the end, as he's doing it for his wife. He does have a redemption moment at the end when you find out that he's got the cure to Alfred's disease. He's like, take two and call me in the morning.
Very convenient, isn't it?
Yeah. But you then cut to Arkham Asylum and see Poison Ivy, and she looks in the corner and Mr. Freeze is standing there. He's
like, what does he say? He says something like really just pointless. He's like, okay, so winter comes now.
Yeah.
Well, there we go then. I think we've just about covered everything. That was our honest review of 1997's Batman and Robin. Once again, thank you to Paul from Heavy Spoilers for coming
thank
on
you.
Friday Fright Time and sharing his thoughts Cheers. And feelings about this. Let us know in the comments down below what you made of Batman and Robin. Join us next time for another Friday Fright Time. Cheers, lads.
Paul, do you want to, before we cut off, do you want to take a moment to plug your show so that we can, you know, obviously all our views that we'll get will help your growth. So we're happy to help
you.
We're happy to help you grow if we can, mate.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, man. I'm struggling out here. Yeah, thank you, man. I've had a right laugh.